Time for the Bay Area's favorite quiz show, Minds Over Matter, with host Dana Rodriguez, accompanied by Daryl Garrison and Lori Fisher on KALW San Francisco.
If you ain't wrong, you're right. If it ain't day, it's night. If you ain't sure, you might. It's got to be this or that.
And it's got to be our moderator, Dana Rodriguez.
Thank you very much, Damian. And welcome everybody to Minds Over Matter. Hope you are having a lovely Saturday morning. And we do hope part of that lovely Saturday morning includes us, because Minds Over Matter, is an audience participation quiz program. So, of course, that's what we are looking for, your audience participation. So we're going to be giving you some great questions momentarily, and we hope you'll be interested enough to give us a call and give us an answer. It could be a wrong answer, but give us a call. We enjoy talking to all our listeners out there, especially the one that's going to make up the difference in that, because they said there was only one left that they needed. So one of you is going to be the lucky person to do that, I'm sure. And anyway, but it is open to everybody that wants to support KALW and all kind of programming that KALW does, and that includes us. But as I said, Minds Over Matter is an audience participation quiz program, so of course that's what we are looking for. Those numbers are area code 415-841-4134. Again, that's area code 415-841-4134. Or toll-free, yes, we have a toll-free number, 866-798-8255. Again, that is 866-798-8255. For those people who are a little shy, maybe, if that's the word for it, and they don't want to have their voice on the air, they can email us. That is done. And that email address is mindsovermatter1@gmail.com. So that is MINDSOVERMATTER1. That's the numeral one. MindsOverMatter1@gmail.com. Of course, you can hear us in live stream at kalw.org and as part of the worldwide KALW Worldwide Organization. And the podcast should be up in a reasonable amount of time if Damian has the time. He's a busy man. And that will also be at kalw.org and many other places. But please start with KALW. That's always appreciated. Okay. If you can remember what I said. Yes. Two numbers, 415-841-4134. Toll free, 866-798-8255. Because I forget what I said sometimes too. Anyway, we're going to be taking a break just a couple of times during the hour, just to remind you that this is the last day of a pledge, and we're always looking for new members. Because if you've been listening and you're not a member, then you could be a new member. So that's 1-800-525-9917. But we'll tell you more about that later. All right, we're going to start with the round of introductions and then a round of questions. And here is the first. Daryl Garrison, our guest today. Daryl Garrison will likely get a lump of coal this Christmas for all the naughty thoughts he has about dumping the orange Grinch in the White House.
Oh no. Yes. Hoping to avoid a childhood trauma of 8 successive alternating nights of socks than underwear, more socks, more underwear, Lori Fisher is trusting the fates and his family for even slightly better stuff starting tomorrow on the first night of Hanukkah.
It is. And if our moderator, Dana Rodriguez, were to ask listeners to guess how many fingers he is holding up, be sure to factor in who is president.
All right. And that is us. I will begin the questioning with our guest, Daryl Garrison.
All right, thank you. It's almost Yuletide, so here are 5 questions. Number 1, in Iceland, the Jólakötturinn, or Yule what, eats anyone who hasn't received new clothes by the time Christmas rolls around. I'm looking for a specific animal, Jólakötturinn, that's Jólakötturinn. Number 2, which deity is most tied to the word Yule? Number 3, an old English tradition, is to light the Yule log with what? Number four, traditionally made with straw and red ribbons, a common Nordic tree ornament is of what animal? The Yule what? Finally, what city's airport has the initials Yul? Y-U-L.
Whoa. Well, Dana, I'm turning
you
over
mean,
to
you. When you say initials, you mean the...
Like SFO? Story. But this one is Yul. Y-U-L.
Yul Brynner International is probably not
right. Repeat.
Oh, wait a minute. I know the last one. This might have come up once before. And the weird part, it's not those letters are not had nothing to do with the city's name. If I recall. Is that Montreal or
something? It is. Ding, ding, ding. Yes, Y-U-L is Montreal.
I don't have any of the others. I think I almost know the straw ribbon one. Is it a goat?
It is the Yule right. Goat. Very
Yule
good.
Goat. Okay. Good that's my bill. All right.
That's for both of us. And why don't you go over those questions?
Sure. In Iceland, the Jólakötturinn or Yule what?
Spell that out if
sure.
You don't mind.
Jólakötturinn. The Yule what eats anyone who hasn't received new clothes by the time Christmas rolls around, I guess like socks and underwear, looking for a specific animal. And number two, which deity is most tied to the word Yule? And number three, an old English tradition is to light the Yule log with what?
I don't know those. You got them, Dana?
No.
All right, we'll leave them out there then.
All right, good. And Lori.
All right. Well, since it's a fundraiser, I'm going to do my usual thing here for correct answers from callers or the panel. The ones that get a correct bell, I'll be making a donation to the station. It'll top out at some amount here, but I'm not counting the first two, just starting now. So Time Magazine announced its Man, Woman, and now Person of the Year. And it was a group that they call unnamed people. So it's a group of people that are unnamed. So this started in the 1950s, and all the decades since the 1950s, except the 80s and 90s, had at least one group of unnamed people. And that's what I'm asking for, is which unnamed people have been awarded the Person of the Year. And it's a classification of teachers. It'd be like if they gave it to U.S. teachers. So they'll mention different people, but there's no specific people on the cover. It's just a generic group. So you can start with this year, it was just awarded this week, or do anything starting in the 50s. And once we get a decade, I'll take it off the board.
Didn't they do Doctors Without Borders one year?
No.
Oh, that was one of my guesses.
Yeah.
How about, one of them was either Us or You. It had like a little mirror on the cover.
It was You. Do you remember the decade?
Well, that was recent, like 2000s, early 2000s.
Excellent. 2006. Mm-hmm. Excellent. All right. So there's my first bell donation. It was You and it was a mirror and a little creepy as I remember.
And didn't they do some sort of generation? What was the generation? The millennials or generations X or Z?
They have not done one with Gen X or Gen Z specifically like that. They're more like what people do for a living kind of thing, or what they do for public service.
Did they do something with COVID, like first responders or nurses?
I'm trying to interpret them as one of those. I'm going to say no.
Okay.
Adjacent though.
All right.
They did the American soldier once. I
know. Yes. Yeah. You remember when?
It was a long time ago.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, that was made in the 50s or something.
It was. It was the very first one in 1950. American Fighting Man was awarded that. So bell on that one. Very good. That was the very first one in 1950. So we're looking for ones from the 60s, 70s, the 2010s, and this very year.
Okay.
We'll leave that out there, and I'll give more money when we get more answers.
All right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Rita in San Francisco.
Hi, Rita.
Rita.
Hey, it's really nice to be on. I was on hold for over 40 minutes last week and didn't get on. So this is great to be.
You got promoted.
On the air today. I did.
Yeah.
Whose fault was that?
I don't know, but I did hear a mini lecture about nuclear physics.
All right.
That worked out then.
Anyway.
Yeah, you were lucky.
Anyways, yes, we all did. I have a question about proven oil reserves, and I was wondering if you could tell me what four countries have the most proven oil reserves.
Well, one of them is a country that's in the news right now, which is Venezuela.
You are absolutely right. They are at the top of the list, and that sure might have something to do with that interest in them.
Yeah, don't be cynical.
Isn't the United States one?
It is not. Not in the top four.
All right. So I would think Canada.
Canada is number four, and they have the largest reserves of any non-OPEC country.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not one of the United States yet? I haven't been paying attention to the papers.
No, no.
Okay, that's what I meant.
And then Saudi Arabia, I think, is number two.
Saudi Arabia is indeed number two, so we're just looking for number three.
That's probably Iran.
It is. It's so that's Venezuela, Saudi Arabia, Iran, and Canada. Now I have another question, and I think this one might be a little more up everybody's alley. Who was the first actor to be nominated for an Academy Award for playing the same character in two movies? One a sequel.
Well, Bing Crosby was nominated for playing Father O'Malley in both Going My Way and Bells of St. Mary's.
That's correct. Who did he win either time?
He won the first time for Going My Way.
Right. Do you know who he lost to when he was nominated for Bells of St. Mary's?
He lost 1946.
He didn't lose to Barry Fitzgerald, did he?
No. Barry Fitzgerald was nominated for
supporting
for Going My Way.
Together.
In 46, you mean who was the winner in 46?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Who's the winner in 46? Or is it 45? No, I think he won in 44, and then and then the sequel was in 46. So, who won in 46? Oh, I'm terrible. I can't remember these things anymore.
Want to give us a hint?
I'll just go ahead and tell you. It was Ray Milland for The Lost Weekend.
All right.
Yeah. And who was the first actress to be nominated for playing the same character in two different movies?
Same character.
Would that be a Queen Elizabeth kind of a question?
Very much a Queen Elizabeth kind of question. Absolutely.
So who played her twice? Betty Davis? No.
Betty Davis played her twice, but I don't know. I don't think she was nominated twice for that same role.
She was not.
Oh, so not. Cate Blanchett.
Absolutely. Blanchett for Elizabeth and Elizabeth the Golden Years. So
Daryl needs a bell on that.
Yeah. One last sequel question. What was the first film sequel to win for Best Picture?
Ooh, was it Godfather 2?
It sure was. Give yourself a bell.
All right.
Well, thanks a million. Sure enjoyed being on this morning. Love listening to your show.
Way to go, Rita. We let off.
And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. We certainly hope you will give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. Those two numbers are area code 415-841-4134 or toll-free 866-798-8255. Wait a minute, is it my turn? How'd that happen?
It is.
All right, let me give you a couple quick questions here. The only California mission built while California was part of the Mexican nation, not the Spanish Empire, is what and where is it? The only California mission built while California was part of the Mexican nation, not the Spanish Empire, is what and where is it?
I don't know. Daryl, you got it?
No, I don't know that.
Okay. That out. Came to an abrupt end. What, what's more, the only California mission built while California was part of the Mexican nation after they had gotten their independence from Spain. So where is the, what is the name of the mission and where is it? What is the connection between the 1884 U.S. presidential election and Casablanca? What is the connection between the 1884 United States presidential election and Casablanca, the movie?
The movie, okay.
The movie, yeah.
Is it has something to do with the last names of characters?
Yes.
Okay. So, Daryl, you do the rest.
Well, yeah, was Blaine running?
Yes.
Oh.
That is the connection.
Oh,
the
nice.
The Republican candidate in 1884 was James G. Blaine of the state of Maine. And of course, the Rick Blaine was the proprietor of the cafe in Casablanca. Okay, good.
Sleep. Got that? Very good.
Got that down. let's see. All right, I'm gonna give you a list of Bogart character names. Mm. And as in Rick Blaine from Casablanca, all you have to do is tell me the film it's from. I think I'm going to limit you to one, Daryl.
What the?
Well, that means I can run the board.
Yeah, and maybe one for you too. Anyway, these are Bogart character names, and just tell me from his most popular period, and tell me what the films are. Number one is Roy Earle, also known as Mad Dog. Number two is Harry Dawes. Number three is Frank McLeod. Number four is Harry Morgan. Number five is Gloves Donahue. And number six is Vincent Perry. So again, these are, at the height of his career, Bogart character names. All I ask you to do is tell me the films. Number one is Roy Earle, also known as Mad Dog. Number two, Harry Dawes. Number three, Frank McLeod. Number four, Harry Morgan. Number five, Gloves Donahue. And number six, Vincent Perry.
Oh, I may be misremembering here. Was Roy Earle, was that Petrified Forest?
It was not.
Oh, up.
All right. Work on that.
Wait a second, Daryl. Is one of them is To Have and Have Not, right? It's either Harry Dawes or Harry Morgan. I think it's, I'm going to guess.
Oh, that's right. She called him Slim. Or he called her Slim and she.
I think Harry Morgan is To Have and Have Not. Is that?
That is correct.
All right.
Harry Morgan.
I get my one there.
Captain Morgan.
Yep, that's right.
Good job. All right. Well, while you're thinking about that, we are going to turn it over to John Carroll, and he is going to tell us why it is so important right now, for all reasons, to help support KLW and public radio in general. That's 1-800-525-9917.
And John. Maybe he knows a Humphrey Bogart character name.
Yeah, maybe.
Come on, John.
Oh, I have to say that's... I do know some, but I'm not entirely sure that I could name that one today. But I'll try to weigh in on some of the other questions later, if nobody gets them. You can call us at 1-800-525-9917 and make your gift of support. Or you can go online to kalw.org and click donate. And my quiz My question for quiz addicts out there today is, how much would you like to donate? Because you can do it right now during the final day of our membership campaign here in December. We are trying to raise our funds for the New People's Studio as we move to that we're planning to move to in 2026. I'm joined here in studio with Liz McDonald from our Music and Cultural Initiatives. So it's an exciting time for us.
It's an amazing time. We are on, I mean, just to set this up, we're on the last, it's the last day of KLW's winter drive. It's the very last day. We are 17 days from the end of the year. This entire year, KLW has been working very, very hard, not only on the programming, but on raising money for the People's Studio at the Warfield Commons. And we were trying to raise $500,000 this year, and we are only, and it sounds like a big number, but we are only $50,000 away from that, and we can do it. We can absolutely do it. So last day of the drive, if you are listening and you've, you know, been listening a long time and you're like, I look forward to this on a Saturday morning, but you haven't actually picked up the phone or gone online, there are great t-shirts. There's just all kinds of cool stuff you can get. You can do it for $5 a month. You can do it for $50 a month. You can do it as a single, like a one-time gift.
You can make that $50,000 contribution and close the gap right
That's
now.
Right.
Whatever you can give is amazing. Please do so. I want to thank a few folks who've already made gifts today. Lisa Byrne from Oakland, who said, love the night DJs and the morning fresh air and wait, don't tell me. Also, Joni Marinoff from Richmond and Ronald and Giannini. I'm sorry if I murdered your name, Ronald and Jeanette. Who gives mostly because you are local and loves a lot of our programs. So thank you so much for your support. We do appreciate it. Please give us a call right now, 1-800-525-9917, or go online to kalw.org and click donate to make that gift of support. As Liz said, you can do it really for any amount that you choose. What's important is not the amount, but the actual action of making that gift, because we do depend on you. As you know, funding for public media from the federal government has been is now gone. It's no longer available to anyone. For us, that was about a $400,000 hit for this year. Many people have stepped up to help fill that gap, but we still need you to make your gift of support to make sure that we can continue to provide you with the programming that you love here on KLW. So call us 1-800-525-9917 or online at kalw.org and click donate. And now back to Minds Over Matter.
Thank you very much. I was just remembering back when I was about eight, my parents sent me out to raise money for big brothers and big sisters. And I was really terrible at it. I took every rejection extremely personally.
You still do. Yeah.
And so I need to erase the psychological stain of that from my being eight. So I hope you will be generous and reach into your pockets at Christmas time here and help support KLW and help break that psychological hold. That
yeah, you made everyone in the audience, all our listeners are guilt-ridden now. Nice. Yeah. Excellent.
It's so hard to walk up randomly when you're eight to people's houses and ask for money.
Unlike now.
But yeah, now it's fine. But anyway. Okay, so if I believe where we are is Daryl, it's your turn.
Okay. I'm going to name an actor, and you tell me which Christmas film you would associate with them. These films are in the top 10 all-time highest grossing Christmas movies. I'm going to name an actor, you tell me which Christmas film you'd associate with them. These films are in the top 10 all-time highest grossing Christmas movies. There's five of them. Number one, Benedict Cumberbatch. Number two, Artie Lang. Number three, John Candy. Huh. Number four, Gary Oldman. And number five, Billy Bob Thornton.
Well, Billy Bob Thornton is, I can't imagine that would be one of the highest grossing sales Christmas films, but I associated him with Bad Santa.
Bad Santa is not in the top 10.
Ooh. Yeah. So it's another Billy Bob Thornton Christmas movie.
Well, he's in it. Benedict Cumberbatch, Artie Lang, John Candy, Gary Oldman, Billy Bob Thornton.
Yeah. Artie Lang, is that the guy from Laughing? That old comedian?
No, that's Artie Johnson, no.
Oh, yeah.
Artie Lang is a stand-up comic, been on Howard Stern a bunch.
Okay.
Former heavyweight drug addict.
Yeah.
So is he, I think this is a Christmas film, I'm not sure. John Candy was in Trains, Planes, and Automobiles. Is that his?
No, that's not the one. That was a Thanksgiving movie.
Oh, I had my holidays mixed up. Okay. I don't know the rest.
Go over that once more.
Sure. Tell me which actor you would associate with these Christmas films, all in the top 10 highest grossing. Benedict Cumberbatch, Artie Lang, John Candy, Gary Oldman, Billy Bob Thornton.
All right. Okay. So Artie Lang, I figured out. Artie Lang, didn't he play the bad Santa in Elf?
He was. You could smell of beef and cheese. Yes. That was Artie Lang and Elf.
All right. There we go.
Nice. All right. That's a mile. Okay. I don't know the others.
All right. Leave that out. Leave it out. And let me just check our email here and look at this. So, Chris has some answers, but I'll start with this one. Roy Earl. This is the Bogart character name list. Roy Earl was High Sierra. Yes, that is High Sierra.
So
Mad
nice.
Dog Earl. Good job. And Cynthia has one as well. Vincent Perry in Dark Passage.
Oh.
That is it, where he had his plastic surgery and changed his face.
Yeah.
Good job on that. And James Klein had The Petrified Forest for Earl. No, it's not. But he did. It did have Dark Passage for Vincent Perry, so that's good for him. Let's see. Rose says, as Icelandic Christmas, the creature that eats people who don't have new clothes. Is that correct?
Yes.
But you gave the name of the creature, right?
Yeah. What? Looking for a specific animal.
Yule cat.
It is the Yule cat, the Yule Kalturin. Yes.
Yeah.
Terrifying.
Okay. Good job on that.
Very good.
And Laurel says the unnamed people of the year one was the 1970s. Women of the 1970s?
That's correct. Very good. Give her a bell on that. American Women in 1970. Those were the unnamed people of the year. Very good,
Laurel. Okay. So there we go on that. Somebody grumbled last week I wasn't paying close enough attention. Now I'm going to pay close enough attention. So, there we go.
Excellent. Good reprimand.
All right. Good job. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, is it us?
It is you.
Danny and Sandra in Albany. Hi there, guys.
Hi.
Well, ho, ho, ho.
Good morning.
Yes, we thought we were going to be gone, but we're not. Okay, so I just got sniped on a couple of Bogarts, but still have Gloves Donahue was All Through the Night.
Oh, right. Good job.
Good work.
One of my favorite minor ones. That was him trying to be Nathan Detroit, and I thought he did a darn good job. But Mad Dog Earl, that wasn't that amazing? I mean, that was like the noirest of noirs along with Ida Lupino. Okay, so what have I got? I've got a real quick question here for you. A geography question. I'll save my music one for when Josh is on. These three towns have the same alternate name. The town of Papunya in the Northern Territory of Australia, Kyle in South Dakota, and Obo in Chad. Each of them, they all have the same alternate name. What is it?
The middle of nowhere.
You are alarmingly close.
No, seriously? Sorry. We'll just play here by ourselves. You guys go get the coffee.
So you mean they all have the same nickname? Is that what you're saying?
They're actually known internationally. They're known globally by this other name.
And the middle of nowhere is in the right direction, so to speak, right?
Yes, that is conceptually right on the money.
And oboe is in Mali?
It's in Chad.
Chad, excuse me.
Yeah, they're all in the middle, like the Dakotas. That's in the middle of the 48 contiguous states, or the U.S. states total.
They are, in fact, in the middle. But what are they in the middle of?
Nowhere.
Nowhere.
Yeah. In the middle of nowhere, in the middle
of... Rather than belabor this, they are all called the pole of inaccessibility. each of them are the farthest point in their given continents. From the nearest ocean.
Huh.
Wow.
The oboe is 1,127 miles from the ocean. Kyle, South Dakota, is 1,025. And Papunya is 630 miles from the nearest ocean.
Quite a distinction.
How about that? The pole of inaccessibility.
What do you know?
We all learned something on this show.
I hope so.
All right. Well, all the best, you guys. Yep. Love you all.
Yep. Happy holidays, all right.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. Hope you enjoy the show. We have time to talk to you. We always have time to talk to you. So please give us a call, 415-841-4134, or toll free, 866-798-8255, and put yourself in the middle of our clever repartee. So, and... Lori, it's your turn.
All right. Well, this is a question about Mr. Potato Head, something that was, he's still around. I want to know, first of all, what year it was invented and came out. And then there were three things in the original Mr. Potato Head kit that weren't body parts. I want to know the three things in the original kit that were not body parts. And then as a bonus, what year it came out within 2 years.
So I had that. Was one of them a pipe?
Yes, a tobacco pipe. Very good.
So this would be like a 52?
I'm going to give it to you, 1949. Okay. So that's within 3 years, close it up. Very good. Two bells on that. So we're looking for two more parts of the Mr. Potato Head kit that were not body parts.
Was one of them a hat?
Three hats. Very nice. Well, this is good, Daryl. I can see it in your face. Okay. You can't answer the next one. Dana, the remaining non-body part in the Mr. Potato Head kit.
Yeah, Mr. Potato was the very early version of your AI friend, I think. Way to look at it.
Kind of an emoji, yeah.
Yeah. Didn't he have I mean, Daryl already got hat, but didn't he have a lettuce leaf or something for a hat?
Well, I didn't get the list. He had three different hats, and I didn't see what they were. So he might have had a lettuce leaf or a, you know, whipped cheese or something. I don't know what his hats were, but this is not a hat. We have a hat.
No, I'm sorry. I've lost the thread.
The question is, there were three things in the kit that were not body parts. Daryl got a pipe with tobacco pipes and hats, and we're looking for one other thing that was not a body part.
Did he have shoes?
He did not have shoes, at least according to this.
What's left? He had a mustache. I remember that.
Well, I'll give you half a bell because I think of that as a body part. He had eight different kinds of facial hair, but I think of those as body parts. But I'm going to put it on the list. But that's that. We're still looking for one more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, those big ears, but that's a body part.
That's a body part.
Huh.
Yeah, many body parts. Just for, right, while you're listening,
was he wearing
four
pants?
Different. Say it again.
Was he wearing pants?
I think he was pantsless. I'm not sure. He had four different. Just so you know, he had four different noses, and he had two different mouths, and he had two pairs of eyes. But we're still missing this key ingredient. It looks like Daryl knows, but I think we should leave it up for the.
All right, we'll leave that.
It's a moneymaker. Whoever gets it, I'm keeping track of the money. I want someone to get this one.
All right.
Okay.
Did you know that Mr. Potato Head was the first toy commercial ever on television?
You know, I didn't. That's good. Yeah. We'll throw that in there. probably 1949-ish. Yeah. It's a big hit right away, by the way. So many Mr. Potato Heads went out there. And a
Love
great
by,
idea.
Love by from 8 to 80, yes.
Yeah, true.
Okay, leave that on.
Okay.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello. Was it a bow tie?
It was not a bow tie. Good guess.
But it makes sense because it's got to be close to the head. He didn't have anything below.
It was
neck.
Mr. Potato Head. That's correct.
Right. Okay. Here's my segue question, first of all.
He was not well endowed. You're right.
Here's my segue question. Yul, where was Yul Brynner born?
Well, he told a lot of lies in his life.
Yeah.
Because he enjoyed making up stories about it.
Unknown caller.
Oh, sorry.
Amazon.
Yeah.
You don't know his ethnicity, where he was born?
So he was born in the far east of Russia.
True.
And Kamchatka or some yeah, very...
Kamchatka's a good guess. I think that's what I thought it was, but I actually just Googled it because I wanted to make sure. It begins with V.
No, that's all I know. It's something to do with the Far East of Russia.
Well, there you go, Vladivostok.
Vladivostok. Well, okay.
Okay, so that's my segue question. Okay, what do these three things have in common? Van Cliburn, Bobby Fischer, and the 1980 American Olympic hockey team.
Well, they all won an award playing against Russians, right? Is that it?
Yes, all three of them.
Yes, Van Cliburn won the piano competition, and Bobby Fischer the international chess and hockey team.
Which piano competition?
Well,
Tchaikovsky.
Yeah.
Right. It was very embarrassing to Stalin. They didn't want to admit it. The people, he won the award, and they were afraid to mention it to Stalin. They might go to Vladivostok.
Well, the most embarrassing part to Stalin was that he was dead. So, it was Khrushchev, not
Khrushchev.
Stalin.
Okay. And Bobby Fischer dethroned who?
Spassky?
That's right, Boris Spassky.
Yeah.
And, do you remember the 1980 Olympic hockey team? Do you remember that game?
Yeah, I remember them being in Russia, but here's a question for you. Who did the USA beat in the final?
Ooh.
That's it wasn't right. Russia.
It was the semi, you're right.
In the finals, what do you mean?
They beat Russia to get to the final gold medal game. That was not the gold medal game against Russia.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what's the answer?
Was it Finland.
Very good. That's good. People forget that. That's great.
The good old Finns. Okay.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much.
Hey, Daryl, we have an answer, I think.
Okay.
Was John Candy in Home Alone?
Yes, he played Gus Polinski.
Well,
Polinski, he was with Catherine O'Hara in a nice scene. Yeah,
giving credit to Cameron Shaw, who texted me the answer to that. She couldn't get on the air, so way to go, Cameron. Okay,
and we're going to take a minute here and talk to John Carroll, and to let you know how important it is that KLW continue and keep building and building on your trust and for public radio and building on the achievement that has already been made at KLW. So I'll turn it over to John.
Thanks, Dana. You can call us 1-800-525-9917. That's 1-800-525-9917. Or go online to kalw.org to make your gift of support. There are very few stations that would or could run a show like Minds Over Matter today, and we are one of them. We're happy to that. How many years is it now? 31, Dana? Is it 30? 31?
32.
Okay, so I was off by a year. I knew it's been a while. So we're glad that you're still here and you're still asking questions, and people are still able to get a hold of you. We are
only able to do that because of your support. So when you make that gift of support to KLW, you're helping to keep shows like Minds Over Matter on the air, as well as support our local newsroom and efforts there, as well as the music discovery programs that you'll hear later this afternoon and on weeknights. All of that is part of the KLW fabric of programming that you hear, and it's all due to public support. So when you make that gift, you are keeping all of this on the air. So make that gift right now, 1-800-525-9917. That's 1-800-525-9917. I want to thank Mark Ulrichsen from San Francisco, who made a gift, as well as Alan Perlman. Thank you so much for your support. We do appreciate it. I'm joined here in studio with Liz McDonald. Hey, Liz.
Hi there. It's so exciting and nice to be here with everybody in the studio. And it's really nice to get behind Minds Over Matter. This is an incredible show. And if you, I am often in my car and I'll like stop and wait because I just need to like hear the punchline. And if that's who you are and that's what happens with you, take a moment and join this incredible community as a subscriber. You can do it for $5. You can do it for $50. There's all the information you need is online, or call us 800-525-9917. Join KALW on our last day of the drive.
And now we're going to go back to Minds Over Matter.
Thank you very much. Yes, 32 years we've been soldiering on here through marriages and children and rehab of people who I would not name. So, but it's, yes, we are still here. They're all past that now and sober and ready to work. Okay, let me give you a quick question here. Now, Daryl, and you're going to know this quite easily, so I'm going to recuse you. Unless nobody gets it, and then you can come in.
I'll accuse you.
Both Bela Lugosi and Boris Karloff each had their names in a movie title. Tell me those two movies. Both Bela Lugosi and Boris Karloff each had their actual names in a movie title. What were those two films? And I'll give you one more, actually, because I've been having this around for a while. The first song from an animated feature film to be nominated for the Academy Award for Best Song was not from a Disney film. Mm. What film was it from? The first song from an animated feature film to be nominated for Best Song was not from a Disney film.
Can you tell us the year?
No.
You mean
it
you
was
won't?
Very early? I would give you that.
Like before Fantasia? No.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Ooh, what in the world was doing animated films before Disney, or at the same time as Disney? Because you had Snow White in
37,
and then Fantasia 40. So, who else was making animated movies?
You know, Gertie the Dinosaur, that guy. Will, not him. I don't think they made musicals. Could a Betty Boop? No.
Nope.
Was it sort of a live action and animated film?
No, it was an animated film. So what feature-length animated film that was not Disney had the first song from it nominated for Best Song?
Daryl, Song of the South was a Disney movie,
yeah,
right?
Okay.
It was a Disney movie. Yeah.
Ah, I don't know.
Right. Leave that out there.
And Bela Lugosi and Boris Karloff, their full names are in the title?
They are.
Yeah. Don't know.
Okay.
Okay.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter. Hello?
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 Hi, you're on.
Can you hear me?
I can.
Me too.
Oh, I just wondered if Mr. Potato Head was still out there without his glasses.
That's a great answer, and that's exactly what he was without until you answered it. Very good.
Oh, that's thank God he can see again.
He can, yeah. Thanks to you, he can. Very good. And that's the 20th correct answer.
All.
Yeah. Very good.
Happy holidays. I got to get going to the next shindig. You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Very clever. Thank you.
Somebody else mentioned here, Danny mentioned a bow tie. Was that on there?
Well, Peter from Florida mentioned a bow tie, but it's not on my list, and I'll research it. I looked up the original picture. I didn't see it. It might have come later, And I, there's a chance I'm wrong, although that's never happened, that's for sure. Anyway, I'll check on the bow tie, I promise. Okay.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Howdy, it's Tom in Southern California.
Hey, Tom.
Hi. The first song, is that a standard? Is that like a well-known song?
Well, it was a popular song. I don't know how much it's sung today. Probably not that much.
Yeah. Okay. I can't. I could only go general. Maybe a Warner Brothers film of some. If that'll help somebody else out there, maybe.
No, it's not. It wasn't animation. Warner Brothers. It was a full-length animated feature.
Okay, yeah, well, I thought maybe there might be a Warner Brothers short that was... Anyway, I won't get it. How about, some of the Christmas films. Gary Oldman would be Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban.
Is that a Christmas film?
No, that's not what I'm looking for.
Yeah, it is a Christmas.
That's not what we're looking for.
All right. Billy Bob would probably be Love Actually.
Yes, Billy Bob Thornton played the U.S. president in Love Actually.
And is Benedict Cumberbatch, is he in The Grinch?
He was the voice of The Grinch in 2018. That's the number one Christmas movie.
No kidding. That's cool.
Made like over $500 million. Yeah.
Nice.
Very good.
And let's see. And then how about, I'm not sure if this is right either, but is Harry Dawes, is that his name in We're No Angels?
No, not that.
Okay. And the U.S. mission built when it was Mexico, only because I can think Monterey was the capital. So I think maybe Carmel? Mission Carmel?
Not Carmel, no.
Okay. And was Boris Karloff, something like Boris Karloff and the Three Stooges, something like that?
No, but it was with the comedy team.
Abbott and Costello?
Right. It was...
Abbott and Costello Meet the Monster, right. Boris Karloff.
No, it's you're all dancing around it. It's Abbott and Costello Meet the Killer, Boris Karloff.
Okay.
Meet the Killer.
And it turned out he was not the killer in the end. Anyway.
Spoiler.
And is Bela Lugosi a similar thing, a comedy movie?
Yes.
Okay. Does he meet the Three Stooges?
Lugosi and the Ritz Brothers or something?
the Mills Brothers.
And then let's see, the question I got is, in Italy it's a Christmas tradition to broadcast what American movie on TV? Ooh. And bonus points if you can tell me the title in Italian, which is different from the title in America.
Is it a classic American Christmas movie, like It's a Wonderful Life kind of movie?
No.
Is it The Godfather?
No.
Is it Wizard of Oz?
No.
How about Die Hard?
No.
Classic Christmas movie.
And not Die Hard 2 either, which is actually a Christmas movie.
It is.
Which one is it, I wonder? Can you give us one of the stars?
I could. Will I? I'll say, how about Gene Hackman?
Ooh.
I wouldn't say he's the star of this movie, but...
And it is a Christmas movie, or they play it at Christmas?
It is not a Christmas movie.
Oh.
Superman.
No, but you're in the right, obviously time frame.
Are we in the right genre?
No. Well, okay. No.
Is it one of those Tom Clancy things?
No. Crimson Tide, no.
Is it a comedy?
It is.
So what's the one where Nathan Lane is in it? They're gay.
No, The Birdcage? No.
Yeah, okay.
No. Like I said, he's not really the star of the film, I should point out.
It's not the Royal Tannenbaums, is it?
No. Comedy. It's a black and white. That should do it for you.
Gene Hackman, black and white comedy. That should do it.
Oh, Bonnie and Clyde?
That's not black and white. and not a comedy.
And again, not a star, not the star of the film.
Right, I understand.
Oh, Young Frankenstein.
Young Frankenstein is
very good.
Yeah, which is for some tiny reason part, known as Frankenstein Jr. in Italy. Okay, great show. Thanks a bunch.
Right.
Adios.
All right. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're over here every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. And we do have a couple of lines open. If you'd like to give us a quick call, we'd love to talk to you. That's 415-841-4134 or toll free 866-798-8255. Give us a call as quick as you can and we'll try to put you on. Let's see now. Let's go over. How much do we have left here? Daryl, what do you have?
Yuletide questions. Which deity is most tied to the word Yule? An old English tradition is to light the Yule log with what? And then finally, Gary Oldman is affiliated with what Christmas movie in the top 10 all-time grossing Christmas movies?
Did he do, was he one of the reindeer? No, he wasn't.
He did a voice. He did voices.
Voices.
Yeah, plural.
Was there an animated Christmas Carol? And
yes, he did Disney's A Christmas Carol. He was the voice of Bob Cratchit and Jacob Marley. Made a lot of money in 2009. Very good.
Okay. All right.
And I'm looking for a Times Person of the Year. Excuse me. Who is unnamed. And one of the decades we're looking for is from the 60s, the 2010s, and the one just awarded this week. Those are the ones, any of the ones in those categories would do it.
Okay.
That's all I have.
All right. Yeah, I still have a bunch of things here. The mission that was built under the Mexicans and not the Spanish. Where is that? And Bela Lugosi was in what movie with his name? And I think we got all the Humphrey Bogart stuff.
No,
you missed one.
Did I miss one? Harry Dawes. Nobody got
And Frank McLeod.
That one I remember. Frank McLeod. That was Key Largo.
Oh, very good. Yes, that's correct. Key Largo.
So we still need Harry Dawes?
Yeah.
Was that a late film of his?
Pretty late, yeah.
How about The Harder They Fall?
Nope.
Okay.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hey, this is Mershad today in Solano County. How you doing?
Good. Hi. Solano County. Okay, good.
Well, this still week, the Bay Area. Next week somewhere else. Christmas Carol for our good friend Gary Oldman, the most versatile actor on the planet.
Yes.
Good work.
Exactly right.
Okay. I grew up two blocks away from Mission San Jose, and if I recall in high school, the missions were developed later on and as it went north. So is that correct in Fremont?
Not Fremont. It is north. So I give you that.
You mean Northern California?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, but you're talking about mission, which mission specifically you're talking about?
Mission San Jose. It was named Mission San Jose, but it was in Fremont on Mission Boulevard of all streets.
Yeah. Not that one.
There's a high school there named Mission San Jose High School, right?
Yeah.
That's where I went to school. Yep.
Oh.
And then finally, unfortunately, probably for the last time, Person of the Year, AI Architects or AI.
That is absolutely right. The architects of AI are the people, persons of the year. Give them a bell. Unfortunately, but well done. Very good.
All right. Cool. Thank you, guys. Good job.
Thank you. Appreciate the show.
Sacramento Slim used to teach at Mission San Jose High School, just to tie things together there.
Oh, all right. And next call. Hi, you're
on. Hi, this is Sandy from Oakland.
Hi,
our family always, we light the Yule log using pieces from the previous year's Yule log.
That is exactly right.
Oh, that's a great answer.
Yes. Very good.
So we always use the trunk from the Christmas tree in order to create our Yule log, and then we add burnable objects to it. So yeah, it works well. It's a wonderful celebration.
And you, and great, great answer.
And you save it for the whole year, huh?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
That's
the
terrific.
Same place. The same place where we saved the Christmas tree trunk from the previous year. So we, you know, you create these places in your yard, in your basement, you know, as family traditions.
That's fantastic. Yeah, yeah, that's okay. Fun.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Okay. Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
All right. Time to wrap up here. Daryl, give us what you got.
Only have one that wasn't answered. The deity most tied to the word Yule, as you might imagine, Odin.
That's it, huh?
Yep.
Didn't imagine.
That's it. All right. The unnamed people who were not named from the 2010s, believe it or not, there were four of them. The protester, the Ebola fighters, which were close on, the silence breakers, and the guardians, which were the guardians of the press. In the 1960s, there were three groups, United States Scientists, the Inheritors, which were called another name for the Baby Boomers, and Middle Americas. And then 1956, the Hungarian Freedom Fighters were the unnamed people of the year. And that clears me for the day, too.
Okay. The last of the Bogart character names, Harry Dawes, was the director from the Barefoot Contessa.
Yeah.
Barefoot Contessa. I think all the others were gone. The only California mission built while California was part of the Mexican nation was Mission San Francisco Solano, built in 1823. It's the 21st and last mission in Sonoma, California. Bela Lugosi's name only appeared in one film, which I'm sure he was terribly proud of, and that film was Bela Lugosi Meets the Brooklyn Gorilla. and I missed that one, the comedy team of Martin and Lewis ripoff artists, Sammy Petrillo and Duke Mitchell, I believe.
I do not remember Petrillo and Mitchell. Yeah,
well, that's the only film they made. And okay, the first song nominated from an animated feature film, nominated for the best song, and was not from Disney. The song was Fateful Forever from Gulliver's Travels, 1939 film Gulliver's Travels, that Max Fleischer of Popeye fame produced. Anyway, if we did not get to your call, I do apologize. Please remember that Minds Over Matter is here every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Our panel today, that was Daryl Garrison, a realtor from Brentwood, Lori Fisher, who teaches at Apple Valley College. I've been your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. Thanks to Damian D. Minor, trialing the board and phones. And thanks to you for taking the time to tune in and listen, and those who contributed and helped make KLW and Minds Over Matter all the better. And John will probably mention that a little bit on the way out. But thanks to all of you who took the time, and thanks to all of you who are going to take the time right after the show's over. So good luck to all of you, and remember that we're join us next Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Thanks.
And thank you, Dana. Support for KALW comes from Root Division, a San Francisco nonprofit working to empower artists and enrich the Bay Area through engagement in the visual arts. Their first annual artist fair featuring an art marketplace, music, and food is open to the public today, Saturday, December 13th. So for more information, you can go to rootdivision.org. And we want to thank a few folks who've made their gifts of support this morning already. Meredith.